This is a production of Cornell University.
We will go ahead and call meeting University Center's meeting to order. With that, I will turn it over to Casey for a roll call.
Present.
She's on the screen.
Hi. Hello.
Marcy Vanda.
Hi.
Richard Dunkel.
Here.
Duncan and Katie.
Yep, here.
Here. I'm here.
I'm here. It's kind of hard to hear you guys, just by the way.
Manaya Lewis. Annalie Onunye.
Here.
James Richards. Stephanie Tanis. Jessica Withers.
James Richards says yes. That's
And I'm here.
I had to say to correct that she'll be coming. She has a class that ends at 4:45.
All right. Just before we get started, just one more check for those on Zoom. How is the audio now?
It is much better than last time. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. With that, I would like to read the land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homeland of the Gayagono of the Huguenot Nation. The Gayagono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayagono and its possession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayagono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. With that, we'll move into the agenda. Right. First, I'll call for late additions to the agenda. Late additions to the agenda. We'll move forward to approval of the minutes. The August 31st, open the forum for to discussion.
Accept the minutes.
Richard has motion to approve. Second from Nick. Nicola, unanimous consent. Seeing no, if there are no objections, we'll approve the minutes. Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Now we move into open forum. First item on that agenda is President Pollack sent a letter for the appointment of Christine Liang as the interim judicial administrator until such time as all pending cases as they pertain to the campus code of conduct have been resolved. Christine Liang was recently promoted to director of the Office of Student Conduct and Community Standards. However, in order for cases pending under the old code to be resolved, there does require that there is a judicial administrator because that is the requirement of that code. So therefore, President Pollack has supplied us with a letter as pertaining to the interim appointment of her as the judicial administrator during this transitional period. Pause there and see if there are any questions or comments. Just a clarification, you know, that is not something we need a motion or approval from this body, is that correct?
No. Well, actually, because it's extending her appointment that you that the UA did actually approve, I think it probably just in order to make it complete and official, that would be the right thing.
I would entertain a motion to accept the interim extension for Christine. Second from Cox Fox. Again, we'll go with the next. Is there any objections there? And seeing none, then we will approve the interim extension of the interim judicial administrator position for Christine. Next up, we have a conversation that this I look forward to talking a little bit about potential invitees and guest speakers. And you'll see on here a couple that were just beginning conversations from the executive committee around some folks that we might like to see joining us here to speak to items as they pertain to the university to inform the constituent groups. One of these is a past standing acknowledgement, and that has happened pretty regularly, and that the Cornell Police have come to provide us with an update on campus issues, how they manage through them, and updates as far as what they are doing to continue to stay on top of trainings and things of that nature. And then the second item was brought up as just a topic of potential for the Office of Student Conduct and Community Standard, which I have talked a lot about, so I know a lot about myself, but not everybody is as familiar. One of the suggestions that was brought up in the executive committee was to seek to have them coming in a little bit later in the year so that we would be able to look at the work they've done. As of right now, there's very little that the OSCCS that I've heard of them has done. So there was sort of a conversation around having that come in a little bit later in the year to allow for us to be able to ask some questions and check in on how things have been so far and see if we can learn more about their role. And there were other topics that were brought up as well, things around infrastructure on campus, including lighting, electric car infrastructure, topics of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so those are just general topics, but I would like to open the floor to folks to talk a little bit about any thoughts or ideas or comments on those that we've provided so far as it pertains to visitors to come here to the University Assembly to present to all of us.
I was going to say, with inviting CUPD, I'm fully in support, but it might be interesting, or maybe an extension of that is inviting PSAC, the committee, to come to speak. I know I serve on PSAC, and Chief Conan does as well. That's
sorry, what committee is that?
Yes, PSAC, Public Safety Advisory Committee.
Oh, yeah.
And so I know that Chief Conan serves on that committee as well, and they're doing a lot of like student faculty. Kind of connections with CPD on campus, but I think that might kind of like extend past that. And they also have all the reports that CPD has had in the last year as well.
Thank you.
If I may, just to sort of touch on that, I think timing would be important there. I know that the PSAC is going to be doing some listening sessions with the entire community. So I can touch base afterwards and see if I can help you coordinate some dates.
Great. Other thoughts or comments that you've made? So those are other folks we may like to see.
Yeah, so in the event that there is a graduate student unionization vote, I would like to invite representatives of the graduate student union talk, because I think it would affect a lot of different groups on campus, not just graduate students, but also everyone that takes classes from graduate students, everyone that supervises graduate students, so faculty and students alike. Yeah, given how chaotic I hear it was 5 years ago, then it might be good to just have an open discussion about that in the university assembly. That being said, I don't know if there's any efforts to have a vote this year.
Thank you. Anneli?
Yeah, I have another one. Another thought is maybe inviting Title IX to speak. I know they're doing a lot of advocacy, and there's some like rewriting of Policy 6.3 right now. that has to do with faculty-student relationships. They've been working on that throughout the summer, and they're trying to pass that right now. So it might be interesting just to hear about kind of what they're doing.
Thank you, and I apologize for misstating correct?
Yes.
So yes, Amelia, I know that policy 6.3 is something that I had to roll out within a staff perspective, acknowledging that there has been a change. It is an interim change to the policy at this time, prohibiting sexual relationships between staff and undergraduate students. But that would be a great opportunity to have here from that around the impetus behind that change and how that will happen.
The topics, general discussion. I wonder if we could post it somehow so we get questions and comments from a larger community at the same time. I'm not sure how that would work, but I think it'd be a really good thing for us to do. So just us.
Yeah, I thank you, Richard. I really appreciate that perspective. And for me, that's really one of the targets of this UA is to not have it just be the folks in the room and on Zoom, but to be able to gather information. We do get those agendas out, typically around 24 hours in advance, but what can we do to garner additional questions, thoughts, concerns from constituent groups? So as we look to invite folks there, we may be able to that all the assemblies be aware of it so that they can send out perhaps even altered surveys to submit questions in advance that we can then pose to the groups.
The second thing, which is the questions and comments that we as the executive committee have received so far, I think a majority of them ended with reference to parking, which in some ways seems like a kind of a hump run. Are an issue, but for people who are working part-time and paying full-time for parking, it's not. And because they did initiate those contacts.
Thank you. I know that I forwarded that over to Jessica Withers from the employee assembly perspective to hear from them as well. So that's a topic.
Yeah, and with that, and the infrastructural initiatives that I myself and others are looking to take on this term, I would be interested in having folks from utilities and waste management come as well. I think that having them here is important, not only in terms of making sure that we can understand how, what aspects of products, certain projects make feasible, but also last term, we passed a resolution, as I'm sure you recall, regarding greenhouse gas emissions and the accounting of that in accordance with New York State law, and it was abruptly shut down. So getting some more clarity as to our campus carbon footprint, and I think it's very important, especially as we look to develop the campus. Sustainable development, I think, is really the only responsible way forward. And so having those folks here to discuss that is
Can we send you an idea later? I might have one, but I can't remember the name of the office exactly. So
yes, absolutely. I apologize. I meant to introduce that idea as well. The goal with these presentations is that ultimately the executive committee will work to accept the agendas and do the invites, and we look to all of you to help us to reach out and understand what it is that you want to be informed of, what it is that you like to hear. And you would like to, one of the aspects of this assembly is that it goes on the public record, right? That's part of what we hold. We have a checks and balances system that we invite people here to, in essence, go on the public record as it pertains to policy, procedures, and things that have happened. And that it's important that we ask all of you to understand what's important to hear as well. So, thank you, Justin. Absolutely. We definitely welcome what we've talked about here. Won't necessarily cover every meeting happening at the center, but I would love to have as many as possible throughout the session. The thoughts or comments on presentations. Well, as I said, I welcome follow up on that. If you come to think of something, remember the acronym and what it means. There's so many of them. Definitely look forward to hearing that. So we will look to set those agendas and let folks know as far in advance, because we want them to have, those presenters to have time as well to know what they're talking to us about. So in our next day, committee will talk about these items and identify how we can look to set a calendar and reach out to some of these, or some of these representatives. With that, we'll move on to business of the day, and I will turn the floor over to Jacob and Nick as it pertains to resolution.
Thank you, Brendan. So in light of the new executive orders, Cornell has not yet had a chance to decide whether we are currently in compliance or not and whether they affect us or not. So with that, I'd like to motion to postpone this until our next meeting, until we hear back from Cornell's legal team about whether there will be any changes to the vaccination policies per President Biden's executive order. But in addition to that, I just wanted to add, we did have a discussion about how to make this more inclusive instead of just having it be a mandate. And definitely the educational approach, the incentive approach is great. Another thing that I'm going to, if there's no change to the vaccination requirements, that I'm going to introduce to the resolution is something that several companies have tried doing, which is offering a discount to the health insurance for people that have been vaccinated. So not increasing anyone's health insurance premiums, keeping them all the same, but offering a discount because if you're vaccinated, you're less likely to have to go to the hospital for a severe case of COVID. So that's also something I would bring up for us to explore if it's necessary, if there are no changes to our policy. So yes, motion to postpone to the next meeting.
So we have a motion to postpone, and we have a second from Jacob. With this, I will just ask for a quick vote on this one. But all those in favor, if you can raise your placard and hold those up, that number for you. We have another in-person vote in quite some time, right?
Do you want to just think about that?
Yes.
Brandon, I think you have a question.
I think everybody's voting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I'll just count.
All right. Yeah.
Or your
And then any no's? And I will abstain the other abstention. Seeing that, the motion passes to postpone. Thank you, Nick, for that motion. I appreciate looking at that, thinking about how that might impact. All right, so thank you for bringing us my attention. Absolutely, yes. I had no idea. I really kind of reached out to BP Alchemist to say, like, wait, this impacts us? Is there anything?
This is just a point of information. I think Shania is in the waiting room, so I'm just making sure.
Oh, I keep hitting the admit button. Oh, she made it in. Shania made it in. You can't see, but Shania is in.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that was where I got the response. It's unknown at this point. The executive orders haven't been reviewed, so they're waiting for the delegation. All right, being that we have no late additions to the agendas, we'll move on to the assembly report. I am very excited to hear about the first mission of the assemblies. And we're going to first move to students.
Yeah, I can go. So basically, we've been doing a lot related to byline funding since it's byline funding here. So the last few, I know if you're on the OA Actions listserv, you just got a lot of emails from me. Basically, it was approving the charters of our different filing funding organizations. In addition, we had a resolution last week that passed in solidarity with the Gaiwana Kainai Nation people. We also had a resolution that passed calling on the university to make a statement about SB8 and abortion rights on campus. And then those are the resolutions we've had so far. Also, obviously, we've approved our bylaws, constitution, standing rules, and they're tabled tonight, and I will be approving them. basically what we've been working on.
Thank you. Any questions for our I have a question. You mentioned the one about the diet elimination. Can you expand on that a little bit for me?
Yes. So I know a bit about it, but I think.
And I have worked on it partially.
Recognize that. Okay. No, you're okay. I'm just doing.
Yeah, it was in it was in partnership with NYSEG. Essentially, the resolution is along the lines of acknowledging some leadership issues that have been expressed by different members of forgetting specifically which communities on the head. But they've reached out to NYSEG along with many other student organizations on campus about support and solidarity. And so that was brought to some members of the SA who then brought that forward, which it completely passed in as consent. But yeah, it's a more symbolic resolution, is my understanding of it. I'm asking for a statement and asking for now to show solidarity and support those community members.
Sorry, can I just ask for a point of clarification? Did you say you did this with NYSEG?
NYSEG? I forget what that
is. I thought you were saying
Native Americans.
Yeah, it was something that was brought forward by the office.
Yeah, they drafted the resolution. Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions? Next, we'll move to the
graduate
professional student assembly.
Yeah, so we had a very busy meeting last night.
We
had three different elections last night. We had an election for president, the executive vice president, and then the council position. We also rescinded two previously passed resolutions over the summer, the first resolution being a small $100 budget request for a new website, just like a separate domain outside of the Office of the Assembly's website. There was a lot of concerns that these resolutions were kind of passed in haste over the summer without enough discussion that would be received in a regular assembly meeting. So we rescinded those, the first one, and then the second one was to add two more positions to our executive committee. And we found that making changes to our charter and the bylaws would have to be done in an assembly meeting. Therefore, that resolution was voided. So very busy.
Thank you. Can you share the results of the election?
Yeah, so I was elected president last night. Damian Sharp was elected our executive vice president, and Nick was elected our council. So very, very happy to have him on the team.
Thank you very much. Any questions for president? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for setting up for that. I greatly appreciate it. Next, we'll move to the employee assembly. I recognize Jessica for the employee assembly.
So we had our first regular meeting on September 1st, and we approved our budget, and we heard from Brandon about the university, or the UHRP. Tomorrow is our next meeting. We'll be hearing from the Office of Institutional Equity and Title IX to hear about the interim policy 6.3. And we will also be going over liaison appointments that the EA has to make, including the ones to University Assembly. A couple things happening in our committees. The election committee is finalizing plans for a special election to fill our 12 empty seats. And the education committee and myself are, the EA is co-hosting a reception tomorrow to honor staff graduates. And the education committee is helping to host, and I'll be helping present call names for graduates. So that's just some of the stuff going on. As like I said last time, we're just beginning our work.
Jessica, any questions for Jessica? All right, seeing that, we will move over to the faculty senate. Might be able to give us that.
Okay, I could do that.
Right,
yes, we met in a special session on September 9th. The issue was in the central administration policy for the pandemic. There were two resolutions that came before the faculty senate. One was affirming the right and responsibility of individual faculty for the safety and education of students in the classroom. And that was intended to address central administration rules and regulations that ostensibly apply to all faculty in all situations. There was quite a bit of discussion of that resolution, in part because there seems to be, I mean, this is one of the things, I don't know if it's us, but there seems to be a shortage of classroom space, and that has had a consequence that some faculty in their classrooms are really crowded. And if there's no ventilation, then there is a worry on the part of faculty that there will be transmission of the virus between students and students to faculty. And some of those classroom situations really are that. And so that was one of the issues. One of the other issues that came up with respect to faculty autonomy in teaching was recommendations or policies issued by the central administration. For example, I have a seminar which three of my students at one point came down with the virus. Two of them recovered. It was like the third one's recovered also back to class. But the university sent out a message and asked me what I was going to do about it. I said, well, anymore, I'm sick and I'm going to go online. I said, well, can you be creative? I said, can't be created. It's a seminar. It's class discussion. All the students have to be in the same place at the same time. Either you're in class or you're online. It was really weird. I'm understanding how this was the vice provost's office for education. Really hard understanding how we teach. The other resolution was on disabilities and recognition that some faculty and some students for that matter have disabilities that make them more susceptible to the virus. They get sicker, or maybe they have young children at home. Some of them have parents at home that are elderly. And the university has been very unresponsive to these requests. These resolutions were put forward to the faculty senate. There was a Qualtrics vote, and they both passed. And so they don't change university policy, but they are an expression of the faculty senate's disagreements with current central administration policy. That is an important session.
Thank you very much, Richard. Any questions or comments for Richard?
Well, Richard, what do you do when somebody gets sick with some other disease?
Like recognizing
comments. Yeah, no, when somebody gets like get sick in batches. but when somebody gets sick at a seminar and you excuse them, they have a medical reason to excuse them. The problem with the pandemic is not that. The problem is if the class becomes half the class. That was the example we gave. The central administration, half the class becomes sick. Then what do you do? And that know, I've never had more than two students in a seminar sick at the same time. I had some that, you know, went off chest hurt or something. And sometimes they take off because of Thanksgiving, they run off. I mean, those kind of situations, but I've never had more than two come down with something else. So three was a record for me. I didn't go online. I taught last year, all year in person. So this wasn't, but this was, I and other vendors should say, the faculty said it did approve this resolution. I and others really thought this was transgressing into our rights and responsibilities as faculty.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Can I make a comment or is it just questions?
Comments, questions, whatever.
No, I was just going to say as a comment, like, I'd like to, like, voice my support and second that on behalf of most students, just because I know, like, quite a few students who felt, like, uncomfortable missing basically 2 weeks of classes without being able to participate. So, like, I think I know a lot of students who would like a more flexible kind of situation, especially when they're feeling, like, they can be in class, but they're quarantined. They feel like they can't, like, obviously the university don't letting them go to classes. Because more than like getting just normally sick, I feel like during a normal year, 2 weeks missing of classes at Cornell is a long time in like a seminar or in an interactive class as well.
Thank you, Richard, for that update. Yeah, sounds like some important items to address there and practice and as well as all the other groups there. I think then at this time, I don't believe any of the committees have met. Correct me if committees have been able to have sessions.
In the absence of those, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe anyone met. I would like to motion to go into the discussion regarding vacancies or vacancies on committees.
Big with motion to go into discussion regarding vacancies. So we have a second from Nick. And I want to acknowledge that I have that list that was sent over and I did get to 10 minutes to everyone. So that's on me for doing that. So I want to kind of go through those. I'll recommend the
point of information. Can we put it on the screen? Possibly share. So
yeah, I was just saying that I. Yep. Great to see that. Zoom on the Zoom here. So if we talk, look to the top portion here. So what you see there are the committees and the current number of seats that are filled. Each of these should have 11 members on it. 3 from the UA, one of which is the chair for the person. 1 from each constituent assembly from its voting membership, and 1 from the assembly that is not on that assembly, but is from the constituency that you represent. So this is something that Jeff said that she's looking to have those conversations. So acknowledging reports for the graduate. Student assemblies, as well as the faculty senate, looking to address these vacancies. And we can, you know, obviously speak to items here as it pertains to the standing committees and their membership, current chairs. Okay, the first one there we have the Codes and Judicial Committee, the chair, which is Gage Richards from the GPSA. So with that, then we have a vacancy for a member from the DSA. Well, sorry, they have 2 other vacancies. They can be any of the groups, and just 3 members from the UA. And I believe that, as Greg Connolly, we appointed you last week. Is that correct? So we just have 1 vacancy from the UA. So you have 1 to see if there's anyone that might be interested in nominating themselves or someone else to join that committee. Eventually, we have to set up. So I will send this out. I apologize.
Just a reminder to everybody, you have to belong. So at some point, I suspect the executive committee will start drafting you or twisting your arm, kicking you in the chin. But it's just important to do.
That's kind of a question on this list because you've got the standing committees and then there are all these other ones. So when Richard said we all have to be a member of something, does that mean we all have to be on the standing committees or you
have to? So for clarification, there is a requirement to be a part of the committees, and I don't believe it's specific to the standing committees. We do have to have a standing committee for staff, so that should be one thing to prioritize. And I'll try to gain if I'm stating correctly, but if you're involved in a committee, I believe that fulfills the requirement, whether that's a standing committee or one of the associated committees. Thank you for that clarification.
I guess to clarify that,
I
guess I have to follow to that. So that you're saying the liaison positions are thus similarly treated as a certain committees?
You're speaking to like where we have the liaison committee coalition. Yeah, so these are other appointments. These are liaisons. I don't believe those would qualify as committees. I'll defer to Gene if I'm correct.
I think it's at your discretion. I don't know that the governing documents specify. I do think that committees are meant to be the standing committees and associated committees of the assembly. So, but there's sort of secondary need to help fill out the university committees that are these liaison positions.
From my perspective, our goal is to fill the committees that we as a university assembly, that's where I focus on. Those are main priority understanding. There are some the associated committees that we can work to fill. And as you can see there, those are actually the positions that are all specific to the other constituent groups. So really, we can focus on filling these four vacancies that we have here today. That would be amazing. And that will allow for those committees to begin their work with the UA members, in addition to hopefully gaining soon members from the other constituents. So, I guess I will just say the three that we have here are a representative for the Codes and Judicial Committee, a representative for the Campus Committee on Infrastructure, Technology, and the Environment, as well as the Campus Welfare Committee. And I'll recognize Valerie Hamer.
So I'll volunteer for the Committee on Infrastructure, Technology, and the Environment.
Valerie has nominated for the Campus Infrastructure, Technology, and Environment. Do I have a second for that nomination?
Okay.
We have a second. I'll go with Ian, who's hand is higher. That's off quickly there. We have a second. And again, we can go with unanimous consent on these appointments. Any objection to Valerie being appointed? Seeing none, the motion passes. Valerie, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I recognize Thomas.
So, I, as you know, I maybe had some unique, I expressed interest in the public safety committee, thinking that one of these committees, but if it isn't, then I'll nominate myself for Codes and Judicial.
Thank you. I have a nomination for Thomas for the Codes and Judicial Committee. Do I have a second for that?
Second.
I have a second from Nick. Any opposed? Seeing none, thank you, Thomas, for joining the campus. The Codes and Judicial Committee.
Yeah, I'll make a nomination. Don't maybe for the welfare committee in this capacity as a student with disabilities representative of the student assembly. I think he would do well.
Will you accept that nomination? Sure. And okay. I have a second. Second from Nick. All right. Any objections? Doing great. See, and now we're appointed up and welcome to that committee.
Yeah, I'd like to appoint myself for the Campus Welfare Committee.
Do I have a second for that?
Second.
I have a second from Nick. All right, any objection there? And seeing none, we have filled all of our standing committee positions for the University of Philly. Maybe a new record only in the second meeting. Nice job, everyone. Thank you so much. Now, what I will do again is you can join more than one committee. I understand that's a time commitment and energy. I will send out this whole list here unless there is anyone who wanted to nominate themselves or others for any of these university committees that we have here. We have one for the public safety, public policy advisory group, one for the Coalition on Sexual Violence Prevention, and one on the public safety advisory group. With that, I'll recognize Jessica Mithers.
I would like to serve on the Coalition for Sexual Violence Prevention, if that's not already taken.
We have a nomination for Jessica Withers for the Coalition on Sexual Violence Prevention. We have a second. A second from that. Any opposed? And seeing none, we'll look on Jessica Withers as our University Assembly Liaison for the Coalition on Sexual Violence Prevention. Thank you, Jessica. Other nominations or questions as it pertains to the remainder of the commission? Next, Nick.
Could I just ask that the University Assembly sends out all the vacancies that the University Assembly needs from constituent assemblies to those executive boards so that those roles can be filled as well?
Yes, it's in the document that I have here. I own that. I should have sent that out to everyone, and I said I would. I apologize for missing that. So I will send that. It does list the VUA associated committees, and it has under the other appointments that Jessica has. For, I'm not sure if each of the assemblies have there. So I'll make sure we get that consolidation to the staff there. So thank you very much, and thank you, Jacob, for bringing this to the floor so we can get those filled, and look forward to that so that we can have those committees start their regular to begin to bring items. You know, as I mentioned in the last meeting, I think we're due because there are no committee reports at this point, and there's no liaison reports. So I'll call. Are there any liaison reports?
No questions. Sorry. How do we go about reaching out to the committees that we've been appointed to be liaisons?
Great question, and I will refer that to Jan.
I think once we get formal notice of who has been appointed, we can be in touch with the people that are the owners of the committees and the councils and the different university committees, and we'll link you with, you know, we'll probably send a link of here are the people that were nominated and accepted, and send them your information, and they'll be in touch.
Okay.
Some committees meet regularly and soon, some won't meet until some other point in the semester, but you'll be fully staffed. But it just takes, you know, the process of staffing might take a couple days.
Thank you. I'll just make a note for the executive committee. Looking to familiarize ourselves more with those committees that are out there, make sure we are reaching out to those liaisons to hear back on those committees. Or that if we're sending folks out there, that you have the voice to be able to come back here and speak to the items that are out there and be open about these different committees. So definitely something for me to better familiarize myself. With that, then, see no other items on the agenda. Recognize Ian.
I'm prepared to give two brief liaison updates.
Well, thank you. I'm recognizing Ian for liaison updates.
So, from the campus planning committee, which met yesterday on September 13th, there was an informational brief about an addition to Thurston Hall, as well as an update on the construction plans for the new baseball field and proposed outdoor art installations, both on the arts quad as well as in the vicinity of the AK White House. Any questions on those items?
Yes.
If not, I'll shift to the carbon neutral.
I will recognize others for questions for myself. I would love to hear updates on the baseball project here, what the thoughts are there.
So there's a new baseball clubhouse, not a stadium, not necessarily that same size, but you know, smaller facility that the baseball team will use and will be able to seat a number of spectators, but at less capacity than, say, a traditional stadium environment. the principal update is the completion is set for spring 2023. When it's expected that the baseball program will be in season.
Do we know what will become of the current location of the baseball?
I don't have much information as to that.
I'm laughing.
Yeah.
Because it'll be a building.
I'm sure will be. Yeah. For parking garage.
You're back next, Tina.
May I follow up? So the baseball field, is that the one being, or the clubhouse, is that being built on Game Farm Road?
Yes, it's the Game Farm Road.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you for that. Okay. Any other questions for me on the next item?
And in regards to the Campus Carbon Neutral Committee, which met on Friday, September 10th, this was a largely informational meeting with discussion of the Campus Climate X initiative, as well as the possibility of establishing a green hydrogen store for a surplus of sun or wind energy on Cornell's grid. Additionally, discussion about the messaging surrounding possibly a blue hydrogen versus green hydrogen understanding by the university community and the needs to clarify the distinction in order to achieve full support for the green hydrogen initiatives. Some updates on the drilling contract for the well. Some attendant legal liability issues have emerged, which are likely to delay that into the spring. And the plan for the large-scale renewable energy consortium amongst 25 New York State universities is probably dead in the water now as a result of a New York State policy change, which no longer makes it feasible.
On sustainability, there was a thing a couple of years ago that when I was going to drill down to some level, 1500 feet or something, it was going to be hot down there, and they were going to bring up geothermal. Is that in the, if they were supposed to do it, but then I was off the committee, so I didn't know. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, that is still being discussed. I don't have specific updates right now as to the status of it, but it is still in the carbon neutral documents.
And you mentioned the drilling wells. I had just assumed that those were for geothermal energy. That I may have misheard you, but you said something along the lines of drilling wells and there were legal liability issues that are surrounding them.
Yes, as discussed at the committee, the legal liability issue that was offered as an example seems to be if a worker falls into the well, who bears responsibility for that matter? So New York State law chiefs around that provision.
Thank you for that question, Jacob. I had the same thought as well. I wanted to tie to the geothermal aspect. Recognize Nick.
What are the wells for?
I believe the well is for geothermal energy.
Well, they are geothermal. I'm sorry to. do you know where in fact they are drilling these wells?
I don't have that information.
I recognize
that. Didn't we have a presentation last year? I recall somebody telling us about this geothermal project, and I recall asking that person about the problem that they encountered in Basel, Switzerland, a simple thing, they were reducing the serious earthquakes. And he said, oh, yeah, we're all on top of that. This thing seems to be ongoing, to answer your question.
First,
I see the drilling, but this is.
This was several years ago, but the question was whether the federal government would subsidize the drilling. And that, they had an application. It wasn't first question at that time.
I think the project you're talking about is Earth Source Heat, which is the project that we did have a presentation about last year.
Right. So that's what this is.
I recall the president's address to the staff last year. There was a topic of conversation that was brought up. He initially sustainability, and looking at that some of our big opportunities from a sustainability perspective. So, definitely welcome and appreciate the updates on that.
The call was actually a feasibility. They're not committed to actually doing this. They want to see whether it can work.
Other questions for me? Thank you very much. Great conversation around that. Great feedback on the site. Appreciate that.
The video was all.
Video, probably the camera check off.
Next. As you like to the
update.
In regards to the well, so it actually is moving forward. There is discussion of a contract and there's trying to start the
I don't know about
The I'm monitoring the chat so far. It was all about the video. And yeah, so just so folks know, the chat isn't part of the public record. In order for anything that is in the chat to be part of that, then you know what you see. So just be mindful of if you are putting things into the chat, that you know that would be something that can be saved. So far, it's just about the Zoom problems. Right. So any other liaison reports? Right. I think we have time here for open discussion as well. If you would like to open discussion. Did I miss something? We're done with the agenda. Right?
Sure.
You know, so sure. If there's any other items or obviously with entertaining, I'm not opposed to us getting a little bit of time back, but if there are other pressing items or folks might want to bring up here. Welcome to that. Yeah, we're also entertaining a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
So I finally have a motion to adjourn at the second from Nick. All right. Any objections there? Seeing none, we are adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.